All right. For those of you watching this morning, on our recording or live feed, we had a little difficulty at the church building. Our heat wasn't on. We're getting a little bit, well, we're about on time, I guess, as usual, but a little bit off. But anyway, we're holding our services from our house this morning. The camera's got a little different angle than we had before, but with the Lord's help, we'll get through this. So we're still in our series, Remind the Brethren. And our text verse, I'm not going to turn there, but if you want to, is 1 Timothy 4:6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. With everything that's been going on recently in our nation, and especially this past week, I wanted to stop and go back at this time and remind ourselves of some things we've already looked at, some things that maybe we haven't looked at that we should have looked at before. You know, I mentioned especially when we were in the book of 1 Timothy during this study early on, Paul talked a lot about reminding the brethren, talking to Timothy, reminding the brethren of false doctrine and false teachers. And so we're kind of going to go off into that in that direction again today. But we're going to look at it more towards the secular side of things, if you want to put it that way. Things that are going on in our world. particularly referring to the telling of the truth in the world, and especially in the Lord's church. I can tell you from my experience, and I think most of God's people will tell you, you learn early on in life, especially if you work a secular job. You know, if you just tell people the truth, you gain their respect. Even people in the world, even the wicked of the world, if you speak the truth in everything you do, you win their respect. There was a time in our country, especially, that was more true than it is today. Today, people, for different reasons, and we'll get into this more later, don't seem to desire the truth like they used to. They take for granted things that we're told and don't research and don't... I'm not talking about spending hours upon hours digging through the internet or through what newspapers or whatever, to TV newscast or whatever, to find the truth. A lot of times it's on the surface. And a lot of times it's very easy to find. For God's people, we find the truth in God's Word. And no matter what the world tells us, we go to God's Word. And if it does, what they tell us doesn't match up with God's Word, then we question it. And we should question it. And we should go to God's Word and look and see what God has to say about it. Of course, you know, everybody's going to say, well, what about political issues? Yeah, we know there's things that go on in our world that are not directly talked about in God's Word, but we can find the answers in God's Word. God will tell us why we're not told the truth. God will tell us why men are so wicked. And those are some of the things we're going to look at this morning. This past year, like any other election year, we've witnessed what seems to be never-ending name-calling, false accusations, and just downright lies from all sides of the political spectrum. It happens on, you know, for the most part, we have a two-party system in our country. It's from both sides, from all sides, even the third-party candidates. Some people put a lot of faith in them, and granted, there appears to be some, at times, some third-party candidates that would make a better leader than the main two parties, for the whatever reason, and we know it's the Lord's doings. right now anyway, a third-party candidate doesn't have much of a chance of winning an election in our country. Even if they are the better person, they're still not going to win the election because, like I said, it's not in God's will, at least at this present time. That day may come. We don't know. However, a lot of things have begun to come to light that the public has either ignored in the past or was not privy to in the past. And we talk about social media and the internet. You have to be careful even out there. And I think it's very obvious what we've seen recently, especially this past year. People on both sides will distort the truth just to get their point across. People on both sides, on all sides, I should say, not just both sides, because there's more than one side lots of times, will distort the truth just to get out there, get their truth out there. And that's why, as God's people, we need to make sure what we're putting out is the truth. Do a little research before you post a post or an article. Know what you're talking about before you comment on something. And even if the rest of the people ridicule you for what you say, as long as you've stood for the truth, then you're reassured in that. The reason I bring up politics today is because no matter how hard we try, religion and politics seem to work hand in hand, even when so many are trying to stamp out religion. And notice I said religion and not Christianity, because there is a difference. There's a great difference between religion, and especially established religion today, and true Christianity. There are those, and I'll talk about this more in a moment, but there are those who want to claim the name of Christianity who are not Christian. We all know that. We've studied that before. This is a reminder, remember. We're reminding the brethren of these things. There are those who want to claim the name of Christ who are not Christian. There are those who, if you go by the definition, and I'm not going to go there this morning, but in Acts, where it talks about the beginnings of the church of Antioch, they were called Christian first there. They weren't of the world's religion. And it wasn't all God saved that were called that. It was the faithful that were in that church that were called Christian first. And it wasn't a name given that they gave themselves. It was a name given to them by their enemies.
Right.
Today, people want to give that name to themselves. And yet they don't even meet the definition. If we will have a priority straight as far as God's word, and I think this is paramount in this study, if we will have our priority straight as far as God's word is concerned, then everything else in our lives will follow. If we follow God's word, if we love him and follow his commandments as he tells us, everything else in the rest of our life will follow that. From our secular job, from our dealings at the doctor's office or at the grocery store, with our families who are not saved, or maybe those family members who are in other religious orders, those things will fall into place. The Lord tells us that if we pray for our leaders, that we'll have peace. Or pray that we should pray for our leaders so that we will have peace. It's the same way with the rest of the world. If we will pray for those around us, those our friends, our neighbors, our loved ones who may not believe as we do as far as the Bible is concerned, those who may not be saved even, pray for them and pray about them. And pray that the Lord will give peace between you and them. The problems we see in our nation today, as far as politics are concerned, are due to the lack of godliness in God's people. And I think we've preached on that before this past year also, and even before that. The godliness that we see in our nation. There was a time, and I've talked a lot about this, there was a time even in our nation where even those who were of the world, those wicked who had no claim to Christ at all, those people that live out there that had no desire to go to church, that had no desire of godly things. They even had a respect for godliness. They had a respect for other people's rights and their freedoms. I've talked about this before, that people on Sunday, remember that it hadn't been that long ago, that businesses were closed on Sunday. They give their people, and it wasn't that the business owners were religious in any way. They just recognized it, that people needed a day off to rest. And that's God's order. Not it wasn't something they came up with on their own. That's God's order. Today, you don't see that so much. Today, businesses want their people to work 7 days a week. Places schedule a shift on the day that people should be in God's house. People, for greed of money, will work that day because they get paid overtime. People will work that day because, all of my business that I want to do is during the week, and so I'll work the weekend so I can do my business during the week. People think like that. You wouldn't think so, but they do. People don't care anymore for the things of God. The very same issues that plagued the nation of Israel in the Old Testament are plaguing us today. False religion, false teachers, false doctrines, and let's not forget that the people love to have it so. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse 30 and 31. And God said, "A wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. And what will they do in the end thereof?" The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule over their means. It started at the house of the Lord, did it not? And has it not started that way in our nation? Now, don't misunderstand here. I'm not saying our nation replaced Israel. I don't believe in a replacement theology. That's a false doctrine. That's a doctrine of devils. But as Christians, as God, one of the Lord's churches, one of God's people, we're supposed to go back. We go back and we read the Old Testament, and we see the examples that God's people lived through back then and the things that they did. And it's a warning from us, from God. Don't be like these people. It's a reminder, remember? We're reminding the brethren, is the name of our, is the topic of our study. We go back and read the Old Testament because it's a reminder of how we are to be and not to be. The people in Israel, in Jeremiah's day, in Judah and in Jerusalem, he says, a wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. And that word wonderful is not a good wonderful. It's a bad wonderful. And the prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means. The prophets were prophesying falsely. They were preaching false doctrine. Remember, Jeremiah was preaching what God was giving him. And he was preaching that the end was coming for them. Their nation was about to come to an end as far as a physical nation. The spiritual nation of Israel would live on, but the physical nation was about to be wiped out, and at least for a time. And there were the prophets and the priests at the temple who were preaching just the opposite of what Jeremiah was preaching. They thought they knew better than what God himself knew. They were preaching prosperity, health and wealth, and all, God had never overthrown, had never allowed Jerusalem to be overthrown before. He wasn't going to allow it now. You know, we pride ourselves in our nation that no enemy has ever raided our borders. Now, there's been times where, if you study history, there's a few instances where enemies have crossed our borders, but it was so minute it wasn't worth mentioning hardly at the time. But as a nation as a whole, we've never been invaded. That day may be coming. We don't know. We know other nations have lived in fear that it would be a wasted effort. if they tried. But we look around us today, and we're being destroyed from within. As a pastor of one of the Lord's churches, I'm called and commanded to preach and teach the truth, no matter what the rest of the world thinks, and no matter if the truth is against what our sister churches follow. Every pastor of one of the Lord's churches must take his stand. Take this stand. And I'm not knocking our sister churches. Don't misunderstand here. But if they're preaching something that's not the truth, we're not to follow them. That doesn't mean that they're not one of the Lord's churches. You know, you look in the New Testament at the different churches that Paul wrote letters to, and many of them, he called them out on things that they were doing wrong. We see some of the Lord's churches doing the same things today. Paul never told them that they weren't a church. Did the Lord ever remove their candlestick? I don't know. Obviously, those churches are not there today. They may have just moved on. You know, I don't know their history of what happened to things over there. We know some of them did go astray. Some of them did have their candlesticks removed. But I'm not sure about all of them. But as a pastor of one of the Lord's churches, it's my duty to preach and teach the truth to the people that the Lord has put in this church. Now, if you turn over to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. Rejoice. Chapter 12, I'm sorry, chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. Now, we know Solomon was writing this about himself, and certainly you read this and you think, well, that's not very humble of the preacher calling himself wise. Well, the Lord's the one that made him wise. Mm-hmm. The Lord is the one who is pastors and preachers and Sunday school teachers, whoever's doing the teaching. It's the Lord that gives us this knowledge. He's the one that gives us this wisdom. We don't get it from ourselves. You're not going to get it from men at a seminary. It comes from the Lord. The Lord, now don't misunderstand, the Lord might use those men at that seminary to give you that wisdom, to teach it to you. But it still comes from the Lord. It's not something we gained on our own. Remember Paul, after the Lord saved him, he spent some time out in the wilderness with the Lord, by himself. The Lord taught him. Solomon tells that his wisdom came from the Lord. Didn't come from himself, didn't come from the priest or the prophets in his day. It came from the Lord. And he says, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Our job as preachers and teachers is to teach the people knowledge, the knowledge of God's word. And he says, yea, he have good heed and sought out. In other words, he studied. He sought the word of God. And set in order many proverbs. He put them in order in a sermon or in a lesson. He put them in sermon format, if you want to put it that way. He sought out, he studied, and put them in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words. Acceptable words to who? Well, first, acceptable to God. But, like today, we're speaking about a particular situation, a specific time period. We're talking about our day and time in this study. Words that were acceptable for that day and time. And that which was written was upright, even words of truth. The most important thing there is that they were words of truth. If they're not words of truth, we're wasting our time. We're wasting God's time. We're wasting the people's time. It must be words of truth. It's sad today that so many preachers don't use the wisdom God's given them to teach the people knowledge. And we see that, we see it even in our own circles at times. Men who get up and tell stories and tell jokes and everything but preach from God's word. Or maybe the majority of their sermon is that, and very little of it is of God's word. And how many preachers do we know out there who are giving into the wants of the people and not to the truths of God's word? I think it's more common than we realize. How many people are seeking a preacher who will teach the milk of the word but shy away from the meat of the word? How many people do we know who profess Christ? And I'm not saying that they're not true believers, but how many do we know that all they want to hear is the pretty words and the things that build them up, rather than to hear the meat of the word and to hear, like us going through the study in Revelation? I think it's obvious when you see the post on social media from people who profess Christ, and like I said, I'm not doubting their salvation, but people who put on there, well, we're living in the days of Revelation right now. Where did they get that from? That's a doctrine of the world. That's a doctrine of devils. That's not a doctrine that you're going to find in Revelation. What we're studying in Revelation right now is things that are going to come after we're out of this world. We're not seeing, now, the things that we're seeing may be leading up to that. Don't misunderstand me. The things that we're seeing today, I believe that we're seeing the world being prepared for that coming. But what we see in Revelation is not that. What we see in Revelation is what's already, the Lord's already taken his people out of this world. That's what's going to happen afterwards. So what you see happening today is just the beginning of it. It's just the leading up to it. It's not the actual things that we see there. And remember, the Lord says it's going to get worse and worse until he comes. And that's what we're seeing. It's getting worse and worse. You know, in our nation, as far as, you know, we claim to be one nation under God, I think this past year has proven that we're not. And even with God's people, or even those, if you want to include the ones that claim to be God's people in that, we're not unified at all. Not under God, not under our nation, not under our flag, not under anything. There is division even amongst the Lord's people. And the Lord told us these things would be. In the latter days, this is what was going to happen. You would have a great falling away from the truth. Mm-hmm. And remember, in that great falling away, they're falling away from the truth. That means that they've believed the truth at one time, but now they're falling away from it. Which means, if they're saved, they're not going to lose their salvation. But like Israel, like we've been studying in Jeremiah, and you look at most of the last half of the Old Testament, you see where Israel, God still refers to them as his children and as his people. Even when they fell off into worshiping false gods, and they were worshiping those false gods in his house, in his temple, he still called them his people. There were still those who were saved. Just like today, even his elect, even his saved, are following false doctrine. They're not going to reap the rewards that they would have had if they had stayed in the faith. They've fallen away. How many have persuaded the preacher to not preach on sin, but to preach only love, joy, and peace? Well, I know personally, have known of preachers who listen to the people and preach what they want to hear. Now, you know, there's times where somebody has given me a suggestion or asked me, hey, would you teach on this sometime? And I'll look at it, and if the Lord leads, I'll teach on it. It may be a few years later, you know, but whenever the Lord leads, but that tells me that somebody has a desire to learn about that topic, and maybe we need to stop and cover it. And if the Lord leads in that direction, we will do that. And he has, since I've been here. There's been things that people have asked me about, and I went, sit down and studied it out, and the Lord give me a message on it. He doesn't always do that, though, but he does at times. But remember our topic. Our topic, speaking of those who try to persuade their preacher not to preach on sin, remember our topic is to remind the brethren, as pastors and teachers, that's what we're commanded to do. That's what we're called to do. If you're not following your calling, then you need to step down. We must teach and preach the whole counsel of God and not just the fluff the weak in faith want to hear. Our faith in God and in Jesus Christ and in His Holy Spirit is only strengthened by the listening and the studying of the Word of God, and only when it's presented in its entirety. That's part of reminding the brethren. Part of the reason that you may hear the same topic taught everywhere you go. If you go and visit another church, you go and visit, whether it's a revival meeting or a fellowship meeting or a Bible conference, you may hear I've heard people complain before, well, we go to this conference every year and it's always the same topic. Well, maybe somebody there needs to be reminded of it. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with that. I've heard people complain because the churches we fellowship with preach too much on the doctrines of grace. Well, if you look around us and you look at the members of the churches, that's a pretty good topic that we need to be reminded of, because there's so much in the world that's being taught, in the religious world that's being taught, this is against the doctrines of grace, against the sovereign God. We constantly need to be reminded of those things. And this is why we spend so much time reminding the brethren of the truth of God's word. And if you turn to Jude, book of Jude, in verse 3 through 4, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who are before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you see the first part of verse 5, I will therefore put you in remembrance. Jude, the brother of James, was reminding these people he was writing to of what has already been taught to them. And that's the purpose of the goal of this lesson, of this series of lessons, is to remind ourselves of what we've already been taught, but remind ourselves of these things. We see in the religious world today a people who demand to wear the name of Christian, who have no right to wear that name. And I started on that topic a little bit earlier, but we'll get to it now. We see in the religious world today a people who demand to wear the name Christian, who have no right to that name. And as I said before, there's the definition for, and I don't want to turn there today for lack of time, but the book of Acts, if you look up the story of when Paul and Barnabas went to Antioch, Barnabas first, of course, went there and he called for Paul's help to come and help him there. They stayed there and taught the people, and while they were there teaching the people, the church was organized, that work was organized into a church, and they were called Christians first there. There are people who call themselves Christian who have no right to the name. Who, and though it was given to us by our enemies, they don't fit the definition, and yet they claim to. We see people who have a strong desire to go to church and hear about what Jesus can do for them, but will swell up and burst if they are asked to do something for Jesus. You ever known people like that? They they're all gung-ho to be seen at church and to hear the stories of Christ and hear the good things and the pleasant things that God's Word has to say. But you ask them to help with something around the church property, or you help them, ask them to go out and visit with people, or to go out and to distribute tracts. And, I'm busy today. I got something else to do. There's a lot of people like that. We see a people who are gluttonous, greedy, and selfish. And I'm more talking here about the spiritual than the physical here. The physical also applies, but people are gluttonous and greedy and selfish in a spiritual matter. They're more concerned about themselves and consumed with things of self. You look at this whole pandemic thing that's taken place this past year, and you see how selfish people really are. People got so scared, and still are scared, that they're more concerned with themselves than helping others. They're not concerned with the truth of the matter, whatever it may be. Whether what we say is right or wrong, there are those who don't care. They're going to follow whatever they're told and not even look and see what the truth is. Demanding others forgive them for their sins, but for refusing to forgive others of theirs. People, they want your forgiveness, but don't ask them to forgive you. People hold grudges. You ever notice that? That's one thing. One of the things the Bible teaches us. We don't need to hold grudges against anybody, whether it's a brother or sister in the membership of the church, or it's someone in our past. We don't need to hold grudges. It'll lead us to sin also if we're not careful. And it's a sin within itself, actually, so it's the beginnings of it. We see a double standard, not just in religion, but also in our secular society in this matter. Non-religious people want to be religious when it's convenient for them. Have you ever noticed how everyone, even the non-religious crowd, seem to know a little bit of truth, but just enough to corrupt the Word of God? How many of our politicians today claim to be good, faithful, so-called Christians? Almost all of them. There's very few other than, there's some Muslim ones there now, but by and large, most of our political leaders claim some form of what's called Christianity, worldly Christianity. You've got those who, the vast majority, are on the side of baby murder. Yet they're good, faithful Catholics. Or they'll tell you they are. Or they're good, faithful Presbyterians or Methodists or whatever they belong to. But they want to be called Christian. And they'll even quote Scripture to back up what they believe politically sometimes. Now, I have not heard any of them back up. And I think I saw something recently where some of them tried, but I didn't read it. But they have no Scripture to back themselves up on abortion. I don't know how you could do that. So I'm sure there's somebody out there who's tried to figure that out, but I'm really not interested. They're distorting God's Word if they have. But talking about politically in our secular society today, many non-religious people, and because of the foundings of our nation, we are just now getting to a generation of people. I'm talking about the younger generation, that some of them, probably the vast majority of them, never set foot in a church of any kind. Before this generation, whether it was through their parents or through their grandparents or their parents at least talked about it at home, you've got a generation now that knows nothing about anything godly whatsoever. And it's because God's people have failed in their job. It's because people who once did think godly, and I notice I said I think godly, not that they were godly, but they thought godly. They at least professed to know some scripture. They could at least quote some and try to live somewhat of a life of a Christian. Those people are not there anymore. That generation's gone. I think the people we have here today, we're probably the last ones. This is the last generation that saw that. And we're in a generation now where if the Lord doesn't come back or if the Lord doesn't change things, the Christian heritage of our nation is gone. Many true believers will listen to the non-religious speak on religious matters more than their own pastor. I think you see that a lot, even in the Lord's churches, in the true churches. People will listen to someone who is non-religious, someone who doesn't go to church regular, someone who's maybe even of a different faith or a different denomination or different religious order, whatever you want to call it. They'll listen to them before they'll listen to their own pastor. And I think if you talk to the pastors that we fellowship with, I think they'll tell you that there's some in every church. There are people who, because of social media, and I keep bringing up social media, but that's because that's where everybody's at today. That's where most people are today. That's where they get their information from. I see people quoting from men like C.S. Lewis and people quoting from, I see people quoting from the Pope and people quoting from some of the reformers. And you don't see many people quoting from our pastors, from the ones we fellowship with. You do from time to time, but for the most part, people quote from men that there's no way we would even fellowship with if they were still alive today. There are men that are alive today that they quote from that we would not have any fellowship with, and they still quote from them. Sometimes they have a good quote. I get that. But what's wrong with speaking quotes from the men that we know, the men we personally know? I think we're all guilty of this at times. But we listen to the non-religious speak on religious matters more than our own pastors. That's a pretty sad statement for the Lord's people, is it not? We go back to the Old Testament, and I keep going back there because I think Israel, the nation of Israel as a whole, Israel and Judah both, are a prime example of that. They listened to the people in the nations around them. Remember, there was a time where God told them not to even marry those people, not to intermingle with them, not to fellowship with them. You've got nothing in common with them. Leave them alone. And for different reasons, Israel began to intermingle with those people. And they began to listen to the ungodly more than they listened to their own priest. And that's what we're seeing today. We see so many in the religious world who claim the name Christian, who teach contrary to the Word of God. There's people in our, even in our own circles, that preach contrary to God's Word. I think we're going through this study in Revelation, and we've seen it in our study in Jeremiah also. But there's things that we've heard preached before that we're seeing by comparing Scripture with Scripture in these studies. Some of these things that we've heard in the past were not true. And I'm not picking on any one pastor because I don't know the past. I don't know who you've talked to. I'm talking about things I've heard in my past mostly because I see things that that I've heard before that I'm seeing are not true. But it's because, and I'm talking about the religious world, specifically more of those who are not Baptist, I think, because they permeate everything around us. I mean, their doctrines, their beliefs I've talked about this before, our the days of our weeks, the days of our months, the names of those days come from Roman Catholicism. Some say they come from Roman and Greek mythology. Well, they do. But who do you think put them into the order that they're in? It was Roman Catholicism. They're the ones who gave us the names of our days, of our weeks, and the days of our months. There's other things that we see going on. The religious world does. We just had a holiday, a worldwide holiday. It teaches contrary to God's word. And yet, God's people have fallen for it. God's people follow after it and lust after it. And if you mention anything against it, they jump on you about it. Even when you can present from God's word the truth, they still will deny it. We hear them teaching doctrines that are far from truth. Yet so many will follow after these false teachers and false doctrines as though they are truth. Even with all the warnings the Lord gave us in his word, we still find false teachers and false doctrine the mainstay in religious circles today. We're studying, and I keep going back to Revelation because we're studying it, and today, because of the things that are going on today, eschatology seems to be on everybody's mind. They study of the end times, because even the non-religious recognize that things are not right. Things are getting worse. They recognize that. And any of them that have any Bible teaching at all will, they look back and they remember those things they were taught before. And they question if that's what's going on now. It's a prime opportunity for us to preach the gospel to them. When we hear someone talk about these things and question what's going on today, it's a prime opportunity for us to preach the gospel to them. The sad thing is there are many false teachers and false pastors and preachers out there that they follow will seek after instead of the truth because they're lost. There are those who are saved, those true believers who seek the same thing, seek after those false teachers and false doctrines because it sounds good. It sounds better than what God's word says. You know, I've talked some in the past about the false teachings of John Hagee, and because he's one of the ones that's huge on eschatology, has been for many years, and the guy's a false preacher. He's a false prophet. I don't encourage you to go out and listen to him, but if you listen to him sometime, it's very clear that he's false. There are others, especially all that seems to revolve around the Pentecostal movement, and those people. There's a lot of false doctrine in their religion, and they try to match it up with Scripture, but they have to take Scripture out of context to prove their point. So be careful of those things. Be careful who you listen to. It's as though no one is paying heed to the word of God. And it's simple. People have the same, I know people who have the same King James Version we use, and they still believe false doctrine. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Philosophy and vain deceit. Philosophy and self-help and if you'll do this, God will give you a car. You know, our Sunday school teacher mentioned a Corvette this morning. You know, there's people out there that actually teach and believe that. And these false preachers, they preach this. Well, people send them that stuff. You know, if you preach it loud enough and long enough and you get the people convinced of it, they'll send you that stuff. That doesn't mean it come from the Lord, though. And then people that send them that stuff, many of them are in the poorhouse now because they sent the preacher everything they had. They don't see that. They still follow after those people. Man will take a plain, simple truth from the Holy Scriptures and stretch it and twist it until he gets what he wants out of it. We've heard that before, right? Then he will teach it to as many as who will listen. And we see that today. Look at the Joel Osteens of the world, the John MacArthurs, the John Pipers, the others. Many of the TV preachers. They preach what the people want to hear. It sounds good. It sounds pretty. It sounds sweet. And the people will fall after it every time. Even God's people will fall. This falling away from the faith that we talked about. People will fall after these guys. They will follow after them because they're not convicting them of their sin. As sinful men, there are times when we grow weary of hearing our sins preached on. We do that, don't we? We get tired of hearing our sins preached on week after week, don't we? If we don't, then there's something wrong with us. We're not human. You know, as humans, we get tired of hearing our sins brought out.
You do it anyway.
Yeah, I do it anyway. Well, and a lot of times it's at myself, too. You know, don't forget that. And as a Sunday school teacher, you know that.
Amen.
It is in those times of weakness that the devil puts those thoughts in our head that our sin is no worse than anyone else. You ever heard somebody say that? Well, my sin is not any worse than that other guy. That person sitting across the aisle from me at church has got worse sins than I got, so what are you griping at me for? It's like our children. Isn't that what our children tell us? Or used to tell us. Or I think all of us have grown children now, but you know, my sin's no worse than theirs. Why are you picking on me? Why should I have to do something about mine? Soon we're going to teach a lesson on church discipline, and that's going to come up. In a church, when you go to disciplining people, especially if you discipline more than one at a time, somebody's going to say, well, my sin's no worse than theirs. How come their punishment's not as bad as mine? How come you're excommunicating me, but just slapping them on the wrist? Well, it's just like with our children. Some people respond different to different punishments. And we'll look at that when the time comes, but I do believe there's a different levels of punishment for different people. And it's just like with our children. You know, some respond better to a whooping. Others respond different or better to sitting down and give them a stern talk. It just depends on the person. But to say our sin is no worse than someone else's just because their punishment was different or because we want to keep sinning is the reason. That's the whole purpose behind it. It is in those times that we are most vulnerable to kind, soft, pretty words from the false teacher. That's when our pastor is convicting us of our sins. The Lord is using him to convict us of our sins, and it gets us down, and we begin to hate the preacher for it. It's not the preacher we're hating, it's God himself. If he's preaching what God has told him to, our problem's not with the pastor or with the preacher, it's with the Lord. But it's at that time that we may hear someone else preaching kind, soft, pretty words, and we think, well, I'm not listening to that other pastor anymore, I'm going to go listen to this one because he teaches what I want to hear. He's not pointing out what I'm doing wrong. It's in those times that the traditions of man seem to sound good, even when we know better. And I think we all fall into that trap at times. sometimes. Well, like this morning, the heat was out at the church building. We could have all just went home. A lot of people, that's what they would have done. But the group we have here had a desire to worship. And that's what we chose to do. You know, I was thinking, this is before I knew about the heat at the church, when we were on the way to the church this morning, and there was frost on the windows. We didn't get up. I didn't get out there early enough to warm the car up, so we were having to fight with the frost. But the thought crossed my mind as we were driving over to the church building. I wonder what it's like to sit at home and not have to go to church on Sunday morning. Not that I wanted to. I was just thinking, I wonder what other people are thinking. They're getting to stay home this morning and don't have to get out in this frost. They don't have to get out in this cold air. But we get over there, the heat's out. Did we all go home? No. We had a backup plan, or the Lord had a backup plan. He provided my wife and I with a house close to the church, and it's big enough that we could sit a group. Well, we've seated groups bigger than this here before, so the Lord made a way. I often wonder, especially with what's happened this past year, what's going to happen this next year if this keeps going. What's some of the churches going to do if they can't continue to meet, or if they won't continue to meet, I should say. We follow after the crowd and fall right off the cliff into the doctrines of devils. And I'm not going to turn there, but that's from 1 Timothy 4:1. We've looked at that recently. And this is why I constantly stress that all God's children turn to His Word when in these times of weakness. In times of weakness, we need to turn to God's Word. In times of strength, we need to turn to God's Word. But certainly in times of weakness, if you're hearing things preached that are contrary to what the Word of God says, or you are hearing things taught that are not what you have heard in the past, do as the Bereans did. In Acts, and I'm not going to turn there, but Acts 17:10-11. They studied daily the things that they heard to see if they were so, is what the Scripture says. They were studying what the priest was preaching. And they studied when Paul came. They studied what Paul said to see if it was true according to God's Word. Make sure the preacher you're sitting under is preaching the whole of God's Word and not half-truths and false doctrines. And I'm not talking about just here as your pastor or as the Sunday school teacher does. But if you listen to sermons at home, if you listen to the car while you travel, if you go to a Bible conference, you go to a fellowship meeting or a revival meeting, go somewhere else to hear, it applies there also. Make sure what you're hearing is the truth. And especially if you're watching things or listening to things at home. I know sometimes I used to listen to religious radio some, when I would travel, and you'd hear all kinds of garbage. Sometimes you would catch some truth. A lot of times you'd catch what I call half-truths, which is they would speak enough truth to get your attention, and then they'd go way off on their doctrine and take it way in some other direction. Acts chapter 20, and this will be our last scripture reading. Acts chapter 20. Verses 27 through 31. This was Paul as he had met. Remember, he had, on his way back to Jerusalem, he had met with the elders of the church at Ephesus. Not in Ephesus, but at the coast. And this is part of what he was telling them. He was reminding them. He was reminding the brethren of the things he had taught them. Verse 27, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Paul had taught them the whole counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the flock, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn every one night and day with tears. Notice he says also, we've talked about false doctrines outside the church mostly this morning, but he says also of your own selves shall men arise. There may be some within one of the Lord's churches that rise up. Someone who's been faithful and true all along, and all of a sudden, for whatever reason, maybe it's because they started listening to a false preacher. Maybe it's because they started reading after false doctrine and they were persuaded. And now, as Paul says, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. They split a congregation and take part of it with them to form their own church. That's not scriptural. That's not how the Lord organizes churches. The problem, in closing, the problem we see in the churches today are so similar to what we see in our nation today because the Lord's people have forsaken the truth of God's word and followed after the doctrines of devils and love to have it so. The reason, remember what I, listen to what I said there. The problems we see in the churches today, and I'm talking, and I got churches in parentheses there because I'm talking about all religious orders, all those who claim to be Christian today, are so similar to what we see in our nation today. And talking about secular nation, is because the Lord's people have forsaken the truth of God's word and followed after the doctrines of devils. And they love to have it so. That's the gist of the problem. That's that's where the problem you've heard of cause and effect. The cause is because God's people left the truth and followed after the doctrines of devils. The result caused the effect, in other words, is that we are in a depraved nation. We are in a nation that is beginning to crumble. Beware of those who preach a health, wealth, and feel-good gospel rather than the truth, or rather than the true gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Beware of those who preach the philosophies of the man with the intent to deceive the people. Beware of those who teach the traditions of man as though they are truth. Follow Christ and Christ alone. That's our command as his people. We're to follow him, not man. And this is the truth. That's what we need to remember. Following Christ is the truth. Following what a pastor says, if it's not truth, is not the truth. Because everyone else around us is doing it doesn't make it the truth. If our sister churches, for whatever reason, get off on doctrine, that doesn't mean that we're to follow them. We know better than that. And they know better than that. If we were to get off on doctrine, they know not to follow us. Follow Christ and Christ alone, for that is the truth. And we'll stop there for now.